Our lesson this morning is out of Acts 18, verses 5 through 18, following God in a confrontation ministry. Several believers have recently shared their concerns about discipling hardened, abused, or estranged people, so we give five lessons on discipling such people with this third lesson on following God's lead in a confrontational ministry with hardened, abused, or estranged people. I want to start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Father, we're thankful for your love, for your watch care over us, for the indwelling presence, the power of the Spirit of God, for the Word of God in our own language. So many assets that we have been granted in Christ. We ask, Father, for wisdom to utilize these assets for the Lord this morning, first to understand the Word of God and then to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Acts 18, 5 through 18. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Messiah. And when they opposed themselves and slandered, he shook his clothes and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God and whose house was joined right next to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spoke the Lord to Paul in a night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, If this were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O you Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, you look to it, for I want to be no judge of such matters. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio cared for none of these things. And Paul, after this, tarried there for yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Chantrea, for he had a vow. It's interesting that Sosthenes, he was the chief ruler here, he was beaten. Later on, we find out he's a believer. So I figure he was beaten into the kingdom. He was persuaded by the beating that he had from the fellow Jews that he didn't want to side with them anymore. They were using that try to get Gallio to get upset, but it didn't work. So anyway, in discipling others, the Apostle Paul sought not to be carelessly offensive to Jews, Gentiles, or to the Church of God, but self-sacrificially to be pleasant to all men, seeking their welfare in Christ. We covered this last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 32 to 33. Give no offense to anyone, either Jews or the Greeks or to the Church of God. However, we established before in this lesson series that hardened, abused, or estranged people are controlled by their sin natures, and thus they exhibit desires that conflict with the desires of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 to 23 talks about the and distinguishes between the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the sin nature. They're opposite. In fact, they fight against one another, the contrary to one another. And if a person is living a defeated life, they're in a situation where they've been abused and they've been overcome by the abuse, or they're estranged and they're hardened, they're obviously not godly. Now, that presents a challenge for a believer who's controlled by the Holy Spirit. If, as a believer, you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're exhibiting an entire viewpoint, let alone characteristics, that are absolutely opposite the person that you're trying to disciple. And that's going to create a tension. You can't escape that tension. It's there. It's not a tension that you try to make. It's the difference between light and darkness. So, as in Paul's experience, one's best effort to be pleasant with hardened, abused, or estranged people may not always produce amiable results, but lead to opposition from hardened, abused, or estranged parties. When Paul came to Corinth, he testified in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, that his preaching had not been marked by eloquence or superior wisdom and wise and persuasive words, but that he ministered in weakness and fear and with much trembling. He was close to being a nervous wreck. They have to understand, Corinth was Sin City. Corinth is like the Atlantic Boardwalk. It's like Atlantic City. And Paul was a conservative conservative. So when he was there, he was tense as it was. But he felt absolutely overwhelmed at Corinth. In fact, in Acts 18, verses 9 and 10, it reports that the Lord then had to give Paul a night vision at Corinth to encourage him to speak without fear. For God was with him, and God would protect him from the physical retaliations he had known earlier in his missionary travels when he had been stoned and left for dead back in Acts chapter 14, verse 19. See, if you've been stoned and left for dead already, and you're getting into a situation that is nerve-wracking, it can be a double trial, and that's what it was for Paul. But God clarified to Paul in this vision that he had many people in Corinth who would respond affirmatively to the gospel that Paul preached, so he wanted to keep on going. However, Acts 18, verse 5b to 6a in the New International Version reports that when Paul testified to his beloved countrymen, and we know that they were beloved according to Romans 9, 1 to 3, and he testified to them in Corinth that Jesus was the Messiah, they opposed, antitasso is the word, they opposed Paul and became abusive for him, towards him. That expression became abusive translates the word blasphemial. You're familiar with the term blasphemy. That's slander against God, but this is general, is slander, blasphemial. From the Greek text, it means defame or injure the reputation of. Since this confrontation was caused by spiritual dynamics involved, not by avoidable human offenses on Paul's part, Paul reacted to it in God's will by holding to his stance for the sake of the truths that he taught. This is incredibly important. If you get into a discipling situation and you're trying your best to get along with a person, nevertheless, there's this conflict that comes up. And the conflict is specifically against the truth that you're teaching. You have to stand your ground. So you do it in a gentle way. In fact, the Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath. But you have to do it in a gentle way. But nevertheless, you never give ground, because this is part of the discipling process. People who've been hardened or abused and whatnot, they've been through a traumatic experience, and sometimes it takes a jarring experience to get them out of it. But it has to be jarred in a very careful way. And you have to be used of the Lord so that it jars them to their senses, where they come to realize they have to make an adjustment. That's tough, because many times people will use an abusive experience that they had in their past as an excuse for bad behavior. You can't let them do that. You can't let them hide behind the bad abuse that they had in the past. They have to confront the fact that now they're not facing that abuse, and they shouldn't let that abuse defeat them. They are supposed to be conquerors of it. That's something that's very important to keep in mind. Well, Paul then shook out, ektenasso, his clothes, an act of the culture in the context of Hebrew onlookers that was a gesture protesting innocence. He then said that the blood of his Hebrew hearers would then be on their own heads. The Hebrew Old Testament expression that assigned one's future demise to be the result of one's own sinfulness. We find that happening in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 13. Paul thus clarified to his Hebrew opponents that they were going to answer to God for their opposition to his biblical ministry. Paul further said that he would go to the Gentiles, that's Acts 18, 6d, and he left his confrontational countrymen to enter the house of justice who worshipped God, and whose house was right next to the very synagogue that his foes often attended. Paul was certainly keeping his stand before his opponents. It was amazing. He's working right next door. Paul then never gave up his strong stand against his Hebrew opponents in Corinth. In Acts 18:11, it reports that he continued in the city for another 18 months teaching the Word of God. Paul's continued ministry effort was eventually legally countered by his Hebrew foes. They brought charges against him before Gallio, proconsul of Achaia. Now, this helps us to date the Apostle Paul because Gallio, we know from secular writings, was proconsul of Achaia only 1 year, 54 AD. So that places Paul at Corinth in 54 AD and helps us to get a timeline in the book of Acts and also helps us to give a timeline in regards to the writings of the various epistles that Paul had. Now, when Paul was about to respond to their charges in the case, Gallio dismissed the case, claiming that it involved controversies in the Hebrew religion over which he had no jurisdiction to rule. And he was right. When the Roman Empire, when the Romans gained power over the various countries, the Romans recognized that there were certain religious groups that you were not about to get to a change and believe that the Roman Emperor was God. And one of those was the Jews. If you tried to do it, you're going to have a new war on your hands. So the Romans, after having fought a lot of wars, decided that there were special groups. One was the Jews, one were other groups here and there that had very strong religious beliefs. They would be protected under Roman law. Their religion was protected. So Gallio read that this was a matter of a difference of opinion within Judaism. So that was outside of his jurisdiction. That's why he said, look, if this is a problem between you Jews, it's your problem. It's not mine. If Paul were violating the law, if he was doing something that was abusive, he was hurting people in the culture and so forth like that, that would be in my ballpark. But you haven't charged him with anything. You just charged him with the difference of opinion in your beliefs. So that's your problem. You handle it. And this is very important. Gallio was a very important human being. He was a brother of a very important Roman. I forget his name at this particular point. But a very important Roman who had enormous influence on the Senate in Rome. And so being the brother, his weight, his rule here carried enormous weight. And apparently what it did, it helped set a precedent. So for some time after that, Christianity was a protected religion because it was viewed as part of Judaism. Only when the Romans came to the belief that Christianity was different from Judaism did they start to persecute Christians. But this allowed the church to grow even more and more before it entered into formal persecution under the Roman emperors. So this is all planned of the Lord. It's very interesting. So Paul stayed in Corinth a great while longer, continued to minister there, verses 17 and 18. So the lesson is, though Paul tried in his human best not to be offensive to his fellow countrymen at Corinth, when they wickedly resisted his ministry, Paul viewed that resistance as a matter of spiritual conflict. Accordingly, he stood his spiritual ground, and God endorsed Paul's stand by moving the secular authority Gallio to rule in Paul's favor, that he might continue to keep ministering in opposition to his Hebrew opponents. So in application, when we seek to be humanly non-offensive to hardened, abused, or estranged people, but they overtly resist our spiritual stand, we must view that opposition as a spiritual conflict and not back away from our stand. We must look to God for further guidance and encouragement, like Paul did when he received Christ's vision that he was to continue to minister amid continual opposition from his countrymen. It's interesting how the Lord moved Gallio to view Christianity as part of Judaism, and therefore he actually protected Paul's ministry there. It's interesting also how the Lord gave Paul an encouraging vision, saying, you need to stay here. I know it's rough, but there are a lot of people who are going to respond to the gospel. You stick it out. Just because you run into trouble doesn't necessarily mean you're supposed to leave a situation. Now, there were times when Paul fled when they were going after him to kill him, back in other places, but not at Corinth. At Corinth, he was supposed to stand his ground. So we have to keep in mind, if we are serving the Lord And we are working in this world. We are working in a world that is under Satan's control. Satan is called the god of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4. And he blinds the minds of the unbelievers lest they should hear the gospel. So there's a spiritual war that is going on every time we minister, and especially when we minister with hardened people and difficult people, because they're probably being influenced by the evil one. That being the case, there's a war going on between God and Satan that's unseen in that relationship. So we have to be very tuned to the Lord. Now, God always, he doesn't want us to lose our cool. He doesn't want us to lose our temper. And there's no indication here that Paul lost his temper, but he was very clear. We're not moving on this position. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and we're presenting that, and we're going to continue to teach that. And we're going to continue to teach it right here. And he made it very, very clear. So that's what we need to do. We can be kind, but we need to be firm and stand that ground. It's so important that we do that, because that sets the stage. And often it may not be the hardened person, but maybe a person who's listening to this conflict going on, who would be persuaded by that to come to know the Lord or to come to repent in some way as a believer. So it's very important that we not compromise our stand, always hold to the stand that we have, but do it with kindness. It's very delicate and a very difficult thing to do, but we have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit when we do that. Okay, we'll open it up for feedback or questions that you have. It could be on the content of the lesson here. It doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up, feel free to address that, and we'll seek to.